Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey everyone, Steve Hall here. Welcome to the Red Men TV. It's the first ever Red Men Weekly, our weekly magazine show. We will be bringing you the highlights from our Red Men Plus content. Just a heads up, if you want to get involved and get all these shows in full directly as podcasts, head on over to redmenplus.com and sign up now, and yet you get access to these entire shows in podcast form. If you're a Spotify user and you want to get the shows on Spotify, simply search for Red Men Plus on Spotify. You can sign up through them, you can pay them, and you get all this content in your ears. So yeah, let me introduce the first clip. This is a short section from our weekly transfer show.
Right, let's talk actual transfers then. Marcel Brandt, who, I mean, everyone in this office knows the name pretty well because of Toffee TV, and they've, like, Marcel Brandt, they've literally spoken more about him than the manager in the last 5 years. Yeah, former director of football at Everton. He's now the PSV sporting director, Dan. And he's quoted from ESPN as saying, Liverpool is a club that is always very focused. Sometimes they get players for the next season in November. Would they be a good partner to send Gakpo in the summer? Yes, that's right. I've seen a few of these in the last few weeks where he's talked a little bit about this. There's been a lot of this talk of Cody Gakpo's really good. Yeah. Probably not a January move, but we're accepting of the fact that he's likely to be a summer move. Thoughts?
It's a really interesting one, isn't it? Because obviously, you know, attacking options, centre forward. We sat here with Chris last week and we spoke about the potential avenues Liverpool could go down transfer wise, and the forward wasn't really high on that list. So he is an interesting one from that sense. He's a really exciting player. He's got all the physical attributes you could possibly want. He is predominantly a centre forward by looks of it. He does play across the three, but I think he's going to end up being a centre forward. He just looks to have that shape about him. So yeah, he's a really interesting one, really exciting one. It is the sort of player that you do get out of Holland relatively easily, so it's definitely a move that you could foresee happening. Our interest in it is, I'm not entirely sure where it comes from, because obviously we all know Firmino probably looking at their new deal. We've just signed Darwin Nunes, yeah. Diogo Jota, etc, etc. So I don't know about Liverpool's perspective, but I imagine, I can certainly envisage him coming to the Premier League.
There's lots of rumours of that he's got an agreement with Manchester United in place, and then I'm seeing that being poo-pooed as it's all part of a transfer merry-go-round kind of thing. Dan's point is a pretty solid one, and that was a lot of the response I got on the live show on Sunday was, don't need him. Agree? Disagree?
Yeah, it's all positioning, isn't it? You know, trying to get to a stage where if Liverpool are deemed interested, Manchester United must sign him, and we know Manchester United pay well over the odds of players if they want them. So if you're doing a job to fill the coffers for PSV, that's how you go about it.
You'd be looking at that Antony transfer if you were a Dutch team right now. God, what could we land from Manchester United?
100% you would. And a guy that started life as a left winger and has come inside and is reaping the benefits. So it's not like his breakout season, because he played well over 100 professional games of football in the top tier in the league he plays in. So he's just in really good form at the moment, and his goal recently in the World Cup where he shifted onto the left and battered it in the top corner was a great goal. I totally agree with Dan. It's not really where we need to spend our money right now. It's not an area of concern or not an area of priority. So it would be buying him for the sake of buying him rather than buying him because we need him. I don't think we need to spend money in that area.
Yeah.
I just want to say on that, it's a really interesting one. And you are right. And, you know, United's sort of involvement is interesting. But I spoke with Neil last week and he said, if Liverpool aren't interested in transfer, they're very quick at shutting it down, which they haven't done in this instance. That could come further down the line. Could come today for, you know, who knows. But with Liverpool's, attacking strength, and we have got it. There is another point in all of this, and that is Diogo Jota.
Yeah.
Now, not meaning to sound overly negative, but he has developed a habit of picking up quite long-term injuries now.
Yeah.
So if Liverpool were to enter the market for that additional attacking option, because right now we've got three. As we speak, we've got, obviously, Nunes, Firmino, Salah. And that's it, because Diaz and Jota are both sidelined. If they're looking at that situation and going, do you know what? Adding another one to the mix. If we did have six before Origi and Minamino went, wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
I think this is... I kind of fall down with you on this one, yeah. Is that I agree, generally speaking... I think we're based on the logic of Liverpool have got a finite amount of money and there are more important areas to strengthen the squad. This feels an odd one because I'm like, everyone's going midfielder. Oh, did you say left winger? And like, no, I didn't. I said midfielder, please. Oh, so that would, I think we would be a bit, it would raise a few eyebrows if Liverpool went into the market. And not even saying January here, but let's say January for the sake of argument. I agree totally on that. And I think, again, if we were looking at January, I think Liverpool could do much worse than look at another wide player because but it depends who you're looking to get in midfield. So if we've put all our eggs in the Jude Bellingham basket and they believe there's a real strong chance of doing that, then they're not going to run Bellingham down and not going to be like doing all that behind the scenes work to convince him that he's the right thing and then spunk half the budget on a midfielder in January and then not be able to afford him in the summer. There's maybe something to, though, getting someone else. So you've got to, if you want to go back to that 4-2-4, if you are a bit short in midfielder, so you're prepared to cover that again, we need more wide, fast, wide lads. And I know you're saying he's being moved more centrally.
He can do it all, though, yeah.
He plays left for PSV, you know, he and that's where he gets his goals from as well. So I'm not against the idea of doubling down on your strengths. So, you know, we're not going to get a fully fit Jota for the rest of the season. Now, he's missed pre-season and he's missed mid-season.
Yeah.
And he will do because he's injured. So he's going to be a struggle for the rest of the campaign. All of a sudden, you've got Diaz and you've got, who's your main pacey guy on the left. You've got Salah as your main pacey guy on the right. And then you're looking at Darwin and Bobby in rotation for the forward positions. I wonder whether we might, it's not outside the realms of possibilities that we look at one more there. Look at his goal return last season, 47 appearances all comps, 21 goals, 15 assists, predominantly, as mentioned, they're from the left wing, 42 of those, 47 from the left wing. We got 19 goals and 13 assists, which is absolutely unreal. I'll just move things on and have a look at this season so far, and it's a very, very familiar tale. But I was going to say, we put a lot of faith in the internet working there when we've clicked that to keep that on screen, but that's fine. There we go. Nope.
That's last season,
too much faith. Too much faith in the internet. When that comes up, I'll read it to you. But it's a similar sort of tale. He's absolutely flying so far. It doesn't fit with what we all want. We're all clamouring for the midfielder. But there's worse things. Let's be honest. It's exciting buying forward lads, isn't it?
And it adds certain something to your squad, doesn't it? And the Jota points are really relevant one, and but the thing is, when everybody's fit, you've got guys expecting first team football every week because he would be expecting that wherever he goes. He'd want to be sort of the central point of an attack somewhere, wouldn't he? So you kind of have to factor that in. But yeah, I think what the point you've just made, you sold it to me anyway. So I think, you know, potentially why not?
24 appearances so far this season, 13 goals and 17 assists, all from the left.
All from the left, yeah.
Ridiculous.
Holland use him differently, don't they? It's interesting. I mean, obviously
they haven't got a striker though. That's the problem with the Dutch team. I mean, like, it's him and Memphis Depay as your options, and it's like,
does give you options because
amazing they haven't brought Huntelaar back out against him.
You could stick him on the left and Diaz on the right, couldn't you? And Salah through the middle if you wanted to mix it and switch it and do that type of thing. So
the fact that he can play across the front three is arguably his best selling point, quite frankly. He's got a lot going on. He's absolutely tearing up Diego Davisi, obviously, but the fact that he does play across all three is really exciting. And we don't actually have many of them. Like, Jota nominally can play from the right. It's not something I want to see again in a massive hurry, to be honest. And Salah clearly has his favoured two positions and so on and so on. So Gakpo is a really interesting option if it was the right price. If we were all sat here and said you could pick him up for, you know, a Jota sort of price even, you'd go, oh, absolutely. No brainer at that price, you know what I mean? But any more than that, I think we start eating into our budget for more important areas.
I agree with that one. When you're heading above, above the 40, 50 billion pound mark, you do start to go, you start to wince. And that's a, I think that's a mark of conditioning to some extent, isn't it? You know, when Liverpool are a mega rich football club, that's going to happen in the next couple of years. We can do this. I'll laugh it off and sell him on after a year and not care.
There you have it, some hot transfer action in your ears. Up next is another hot individual. It's Mr. Chris Pajak talking to Josh Williams at Distant Covered, all about the departure of Ian Graham, Liverpool's head of data, head of research. What is that going to mean for the Reds going forward? Let's find out.
I think one of the reasons we reached out is I read your article after Ian Graham, Liverpool's director of research, or after it was known that he was going to be leaving Liverpool at the end of the season, read the article and literally I was straight in the WhatsApp. I was like, can someone get me a conversation with Josh on this? I thought it was brilliant first and foremost. But also I think it's probably, as you mentioned in your article, Ian Graham is a fella that no one really talks about as a Liverpool fan. You know, lots of people mention the Michael Edwards and everything else, all those other fellas, but he was the start as much as all the other fellas, wasn't he, to what Liverpool were able to achieve. So for anyone who doesn't know, I suppose, who is Ian Graham and why is he so significant?
Yeah, well, it's funny that you should say that, actually. I was with a group of mates on the weekend and we were talking about Liverpool, the changes and all that we're going through at the minute. And I casually mentioned his name and none of them knew who he was. And it just kind of sums up that he's just drifted under the radar completely, really, throughout his Liverpool time. And that's intentional as well. He regularly turns down interviews. You know, he denies that sort of thing, doesn't really want to get involved with the public thing and all that. But as you say, he's Liverpool's director of research. Has been since 2012. So you're looking at a decade there that he's been at the club. He's a Cambridge physicist. And he's arguably the first real scientist to work in football. Obviously, there's a bit of a stigma, and he has always been a bit of a stigma attached to that sort of thing. Football, specifically during like Premiership years and all that stuff, was very much like a football man's game and all that. Mm-hmm. So people of Graham's nature maybe weren't really particularly welcomed in the game, but it took for kind of a Fenway Sports Group takeover and a gradual change in that regard for him to be embraced by the club. But overall, in terms of who he is as a person, you know, he's whatever you want to call him, a pioneer, a trailblazer. And after so many years in the field now, he's pretty much the Jurgen Klopp or the Pep Guardiola of the data sphere, if you want.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So did he build Liverpool's data system himself with the help of others, I suppose?
Yeah. Before he arrived there was no data science department. You know, he's constructed that from scratch. He spent his whole first year building recruitment applications to analyse players and stuff. Before Michael Edwards got at the club, there was no analysis department. Michael Edwards kind of constructed the analysis department, and he got Graham in to construct a data science department. Mm-hmm. And his department over time has become more and more cultured and sophisticated, really. He's added numbers to his team. It's still a relatively small team, but compared to a lot of other Premier League clubs or clubs across Europe, Liverpool have got an industry-leading department there that Graham's built from scratch. You know, there's nobody really more experienced in the field across the whole of football, really. Anybody who's more experienced than Graham in this. And yeah, it's in this leading department that Liverpool have obviously benefited from over the years.
So I suppose one of the things is, how did he get into Liverpool Football Club? How did that position become available if it didn't exist before?
So this is kind of where Fenway Sports Group come in, really. In the world of baseball, obviously John Henry's always been a data guy. You know, that's how he made his millions, really. Mm-hmm. Through gaining an edge using sophisticated algorithms to make investments and all that stuff. Then he moves into baseball. He's always been a baseball fan, and the Boston Red Sox benefit from the whole idea of Moneyball, you know, Bill James, Billy Bean and all that stuff. So throughout Henry's career, he was benefiting from data, recognising the perks of data. And when it comes to Liverpool, he kind of recognised that it wasn't really particularly rife in football. You know, nobody was really using it to a high level or anything like that. So once he acquired Liverpool as part of FSG, the initial approach was we want to transform Liverpool into essentially a footballing version of the Boston Red Sox. Mm-hmm. So the first appointment that he made, Damien Comolli, who was tipped from Billy Beane because they were the kind of like distant friends. Comolli's one of the few sporting directors who's a little bit numbers inclined and stuff. So they appointed Comolli. Comolli had worked with Edwards at Spurs. So Comolli brings Edwards to Liverpool to construct this analysis department. And Edwards needs a stats man, you know, a data guy, basically. So he appoints, he tries to convince Graham to leave his job at Decision Technology, which he'd had for a few years. While he was at Decision Technology, he was a kind of like a football statistician, researcher kind of guy who helped out with like the Times, with like stats columns with Daniel Filkenstein is like a think tank column to do with football stats, which was kind of ahead of its time. He started up a blog and things like that, analysing players, analysing teams and stuff. And the idea was for him to support Edwards, really. And you can analyse football then using sophisticated numbers rather than just playing opinions from a scout. Because the main thing with this, right, is, say, for example, me last week, I did the podcast last week just suggesting midfielders for Liverpool, right? And I'll touch on whether the midfielder's fast, is he strong, is he good technically, is he, you know, what's his age and all that stuff. There's my scouting report there. And then if you look at a professional scout, it's pretty similar, except for it'll be a lot more granular, but it'll still be this is his strengths and weaknesses. Where the data analysis comes in and where Graham's comes in is, if you was to ask me, okay, so Bellingham looks great, I like your report, fine. What difference does he make on our points? Mm-hmm. So in terms of our points tally with him compared to without him, what's the impact of Bellingham? I would say, I don't know. And if you was to ask your professional scout, the best you're getting is probably an educated guess. With your data analysis guy, he can put a number on that. And then you can use that kind of number to determine the prices of certain players, and you can justify paying a lot of money for Alisson Becker, you can justify paying a lot of money for Virgil van Dijk or whatever it is. But without the data analysis side of things, the best you're getting regarding that, like concrete evidence, is educated guesses. So that's kind of where his role came in, if you know what I mean. Bit of a long-winded answer. But
no, I think it's important, though. I think it's spot on, is that, you know, he's obviously done talks at StatsBomb, and I've watched those talks where they've been available and stuff, and it's always fascinating, isn't it, to hear somebody who's an expert in a field talking to other experts.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Right then, moving on. It's me again, another show that I was involved in. I spoke to Goal.com's Neil Jones on this week's Journo Insight, and yet Neil, as always, gave some fascinating information and opinions about what's going on at Liverpool Football Club. Again, let's move on then away from... This is going back to Amir Plettigol again and the Sky Sports Germany. It was announced, well, reported yesterday about Sven Mislintad, Liverpool sporting director, all interests, the former Arsenal head of recruitment. He's leaving Stuttgart, I think that's been announced. We had a question again in the Group Legend Discord. I can tie this one in. This is from our Kumar, who says, is there any truth in these Mislintad rumours? The one of this is, and Josh Williams from Distance Covered with Chris on Monday, and he basically said, the thing with sporting directors is usually they get to choose the manager. Whoever comes in now is going to be Jürgen's going to have a say.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure it's his boss. I'm not sure how the structure was quite going to work. But basically, the head of recruitment or whatever we call this guy, sporting director, Jürgen's going to have a say in it. And this is kind of the first hint at that. Someone who's worked together before at Dortmund, they've had a relationship. The reason why Nat Phillips ends up at Stuttgart apparently was because Jürgen
on
the phone. Yeah, Jürgen gets on the phone to Sven Mislintat and offers him, and it worked out for both parties. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. Like, I don't know if hiring your mate to be the guy who's meant to be the... Because, like, who's meant to be the one arguing against you, or most all help. I don't know how it all works, but again, I don't know how much truth's in this one. If there's been conversations, I'm sure you can let us know what you know.
Yeah.
But it does feel like it's just, again, this is sometimes how these models can go wrong when it's, I don't know, it feels a bit odd that, like, yeah, signing the manager's mate in that role. I don't know what your thoughts on it are.
Yeah, well, we talked about it earlier. The obvious thread is that people think Jürgen's going to be, he's running the club. I think that's sort of, you know, at this moment in time, you've got Julian Ward leaving, you've got Mike Gordon step back, you've got Ian Graham. I mean, listen, I don't think we should overplay that element in terms of the day-to-day running of the club. Ian Graham fed into an operation and had a very big part to play in it, but it wasn't, I don't think it was sort of like, you know, the manager wants something, but Ian Graham tells him, you know, I don't think there was that kind of authority there. But Sven Mislintat, the timing of him leaving, obviously just at this moment, sort of obvious sort of string. I think Plettigol, we keep on Plettigol, Florian Plettenberg's
story. Come Plettigol, I think he'd like that. That's
yeah,
brand,
do you think? Well, that's his brand, yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
I might start calling you Neil Jones Goal.
Yeah, maybe not. I think, you know, his thing was he would be open. Sven Mislintat would be open to it. It's like, yeah, again, a little bit like, of course. But yeah, it's important to say that he it's easy to sort of, with sporting directors, that you always pick out, oh, he was responsible for blah, 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 blah. Dortmund with Jürgen Klopp, it was certainly not a two-man show. It was certainly not a one-man show. You know, you had Michael Zorc, you had Aki Vatska, you had other people in positions that, you know, Dortmund was a real sort of team effort in terms of that, and some real big hits in that time with, you know, Lewandowski being probably the biggest of them all, but, you know, Goethe, Marco Reus, Aubameyang, Ousmane Dembele was obviously one that they made a big profit on. Kagawa, you know, spotting players like that. That isn't there at Liverpool at the moment. You know, it would need more for that. If you were looking to replicate that kind of success, oh yeah, Klopp and Mislintat was a dream team, you'd need a few more elements to it to make it sort of the same as what it was. I know we had a difficult time at Arsenal in a bit of a, would you say it was a similar situation? You know,
ownership
doubt
issues,
over the ownership, yeah. And, you know,
I've got a list actually of
outgoing like director of football or football executives. There was a lot that they weren't on the same page. And yeah, you got a list of some of his failures at Arsenal.
No, well, good one. So you done the Aubameyang, which worked out well for Arsenal until it never. But then, like, Mkhitaryan didn't really work well. Bert Leno was all right, but he decided to replace him. Socrates,
yeah.
Lucas Torreira, Guendouzi. Yeah, it's not like a who's who of Arsenal's current team. And now Arsenal have moved away, and they've
wasn't actually a classic Arsenal era, was it? Of players.
Yeah.
I know he's very highly regarded in Germany. I know Nat Phillips spoke very highly of him when I remember he was on loan there. And I just, you know, something sticks in your mind. You just mentioned Sven, how great he'd been since he joined, and it was in the pandemic, just the beginnings of the pandemic, and just talking about how, you know, duty of care that the club had shown, and even, you know, clearly Mislintat was the conduit for Phillips ending up in Stuttgart. You know, when people sort of look and go, now Phillips is a Stuttgart, you know, yeah, there's the sort of there's the thread that you pull out. Jürgen sort of got on the phone or has been speaking about Stuttgart needing a centre back and said, well, I've got one here, you know, and it'd be a great move for you and whatever. So it definitely one to keep an eye on, Liverpool wise. But like I said, the doubt I'd have is sort of what else is around that structure. You know, it's not, I don't think it's a question of sort of, yeah, he gets Sven Mislintarian and him and Jürgen will just take on the world together. I don't think it's
more to come. I think, it feels to me like you hinted at it before. This will feel, and again, I'm just, this is from my personal point of view, if it is someone like Sven Mislintat, it will feel like Jürgen's getting more power or more. He's going to have a bigger say in what goes on. And again, there's pros and cons to this. The man who, without Jürgen, none of this works. But we've seen this before where the manager gets powerful and power, and before, you know, Ferguson, and he leaves and you're like, oh my god, everything relied on him. He's like taking the corners though, and I was in a row, like, that's the worry about.
I think he's taking the corners.
He puts himself right wing. But I suppose, and again, I'm going down maybe on a tangent here, but like, the owners are leaving anyway. It's going to be changing anyway, so it might have to change. So if you need, in all this uncertainty, you need something, and if Jürgen's that something, then it makes it understandable.
Well, I mean, listen, the briefing point around Julian leaving was that Jürgen and Billy Hogan are going to lead the sort of process of identifying what model to go forward. Now, Sven Mislintat coming to Liverpool feeds that, the model, and tells you what the model is, doesn't it? The model is, leave it to me. Leave it to me and my boys, we'll sort it. But there's a huge sort of, you know, caveat around it, in that, well, what happens if the owners have sold by the time it leaves, and, you know, the model is actually, we're just going by the best players in the world, or worse, the model is, we're not going to buy players, you know, we'll be fine, we've got, what do you need new players for? So that changes who you need, doesn't it, in the sense of, you know, your model might just be sort of, we don't need a director of football because we're just going to pay $250 million for whatever player we need, and, you know, Todd Bowley, sort of, we'll do it. I'll do it myself. You know, that could be it. So there's a lot of parts moving around this, but I'm not surprised at all to see him linked, especially given that he's leaving his current role and, you know, that notice period, or sort of the garden leave almost, it could be, couldn't it? But where it's sort of, he might have a thing in his contract that 6 months is the time before he can take another job, so he's leaving ahead of the summer. There's a lot to point towards that he's got a chance of being there, I would say.
Yeah. Thanks very much to me and Neil, I guess. Yeah, thanks to me, and thanks to Neil. I hope you enjoyed that one. The first ever Red Men Weekly Magazine show. Hope you guys enjoyed it, like I say. And like I said earlier as well, redmenplus.com. Sign up as a club captain or a club legend. And yeah, you get all of those shows plus tons more in video and podcast form. If you're looking for a Liverpool fix in your life while there's no footy for a few weeks in terms of the Reds anyway, sign at redmenplus.com. We've got loads and loads of documentaries there. Back catalogue is available for you. Every single LFC draft is there on you. So if you like the one that you've heard the clip from, you can go and listen to or watch every single one of those. We have Journo Insight with Neil every week. We have the transfer show every week. Loads going on to keep you updated with the Reds, even when they're not playing footy. And like I say, when the footy comes back, we'll be covering every game, pre-match, post-game. Get in the ground with us. Get in the action with us over on Red Men Plus. Catch us all soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.